Father, these certainly are the words of our hearts today.
Amen.
Do not ever pass us by.
Oh.
But Father, we ask you and plead with you to have mercy upon us and draw us even closer. Closer, word by word. Closer, minute by minute. Closer by every message that we hear you proclaim that is of truth. Father, we just certainly pray that you might have mercy upon us. Go with us this day that we might hear you speak to our hearts, Father, and we cry out unto you for these words. Do not pass us by. We know that we go astray, Father. Have mercy upon us. And Father, we do know that there's sin in our life and places that we shouldn't go and things that we shouldn't think and things that situations that we get in, Father, but we just pray that
Amen. We
might not go to that place.
Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, be with our pastor today as he proclaims thy word, and we pray these things in your wonderful name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, you can be turning to Psalm chapter 11 this morning.
Did you say song or song?
Song.
Oh, yeah, song.
And number 12 also.
I'm sorry?
And number 12 also.
And number 12 also. Yeah, we could just carry on down.
Sure could.
To 12. But let's see, how many hours we got on this?
You have plenty. You have plenty. Rest of the day.
Continuing our thoughts on the second coming of Christ, the last day of this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, of the universe.
Pardon?
I believe of the universe.
Yeah, of the whole thing. So the heavens shall be on fire, right?
Correct.
So much there is in the Bible about the second coming of the Lord, but isn't it interesting that most of the concentration of study, if you want to call it that, the preaching, the expectation is not biblical, but it is tables.
Sure.
Would you say fables?
Fables.
Oh, fables.
Oh, I
like Esau's. I mean, Esau's.
Right.
Not Esau.
Right.
Esau's fables.
Right.
And we're warned of that.
Yeah.
Well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears who will turn them from the truth and turn them unto fables.
Mm-hmm.
Itching ears that want to hear the smooth things. Like in the 30th chapter of Isaiah. Hasn't changed much, has it?
Mm-hmm.
It's what this Isaiah said. That's what they were asking for in his day. Tell us smooth things. Well, we like smooth things, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
But again, the second coming of Christ is a mixture, then, of smooth things and hard things. The smooth things are, even so come, Lord Jesus. The smooth things are, lift up your heads again, for your redemption draweth nigh. The hard things are that God is coming in flaming fire, executing vengeance upon all that hate him.
Yeah.
And there's no in-betweens, is there?
No.
How many purgatories did you find in the Bible?
Hmm.
Well, it ain't there. That's some of those fables, even. Oh, that's pretty bad. Even purgatory is pretty bad, you know. But after all, it only lasts for a short period of time. And then it's, oh, everything's okay. But the truth is that one of the hard things about the second coming of Christ is the falling away.
Yeah.
It is the apostasy.
Yeah.
It's the reprobation.
Yes.
Of God. And so in this 11th Psalm, here's what we read. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, and they privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Can you imagine, just think about it for a moment, being hated by God? Oh, but God loves everybody, right?
Say that.
Well, the psalm must have been mistaken. The psalmist must have been, he must have just had a, oh, well, okay, I understand, that's Old Testament, right?
Right.
But no, it's not just Old Testament. It's New Testament too. God loved Jacob, and what about Esau?
He hated Esau.
And that's mentioned several times in Scripture.
Yeah. Old and New Testament.
Exactly.
So, you know, what is foolishness on the part of men, and especially upon the part of those that call themselves preachers of the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim to men that are evil, that hate God in their hearts, that all that they want out of life is covetousness and idolatry, and yet they're going to proclaim to them that God loves them and that they are okay in the sight of God. They're not okay. That's part of the foundations being destroyed. But we'll get back to that. Verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright, and that's all of it, isn't it? Now, again, going back to verse 3, we've talked about this in the past, but how important is it for us to understand today that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You and I find ourselves in that situation. It's not a theory, and it's not something that is in the future. It's here.
Amen.
It's now. that the foundations have been destroyed. And so our question to ourselves and to others like us is this: what can we do? And from a standpoint of talking concerning, or the question being concerning writing what is wrong, what can you do? If God doesn't build the house, then what? Yeah, they labor in vain that build it. If God doesn't keep the city, what can the righteous do? Nothing. If the Lord doesn't keep the city, the watchman wake it, but it's all in vain. Now, who's the watchman? Well, that's you and us. Years ago, again, I was accused of not believing in evangelism. Oh, you don't love people. You're not warning people. Yes, I'm warning people. As I said at that time, I'm standing over here shouting as loud as I can shout. The end is coming. Christ is coming. There's a judgment that's fallen upon the world. There's a judgment that's coming that's going to consume every wicked one. And I always put forth this thing, well, somebody out on the railroad track, and you saw the train coming, and when you go out there and threw him off the railroad track. Or if you saw someone drowning, wouldn't you throw him a life raft? Or a life? Whatever they call it. Life raft or whatever. A life. What is it?
Jacket.
A life jacket or anyhow, a little bit round thing.
Right.
Yeah, I would. But there's no such thing as that. When it comes to the salvation of the soul, the only thing there is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't do it, then there is no hope for the sinner. And so here I am. My illustration was I see all these people on the railroad track, if you will. I see all these people drowning out there. But, you know, I don't think Noah threw out any life preservers. He did preach for 120 years.
I don't know if he said a word.
Well, my contention is just the building of the ark. Pretty much his message to the world.
Yeah.
And you know the fame of it went all over the world. You know that happened.
Sure. And they were laughing and scoffing.
But he didn't throw out his life rafts or any all that kind of nonsense. But here I am, I'm shouting at the top of my voice. But you see, there's a fence between me and them. That I couldn't pull them off the track if I wanted to. I couldn't save them from drowning if I wanted to. And I would. You know, I would love to see people saved. But God's not saving me. But I'm still preaching. I'm still proclaiming that Christ is the only way. And I'm still believing that if there is an elect out there somewhere that hears that message, what will he do? He will believe it. And he will be saved. But if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, what are these foundations that he's talking about? Well, first of all, there's really only one foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
The apostle said that Christ is that foundation, and he also said, and no other foundation can be laid which than that which is laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other real foundation at all, is there?
Mm-hmm.
All the rest of it is sinking sand. It may last until the storm comes. But when the storm comes, Jesus said, great shall be the fall of that that is built upon sand. The other foundation, of course, is like unto the first. The first is, once again, it is Jesus Christ himself. But the second foundation is like unto it because it is him. In the beginning was what?
The Word.
The Word, and the Word was
with God.
With God, and the Word
was
God. And there was nothing made that was made without him. That's a pretty strong foundation,
amen,
isn't it?
Amen.
So these are, in essence, the two foundations that have been, if you will, destroyed in the minds of men. Now, we need to understand again that these foundations can never really be destroyed.
Right?
Right. Because, first of all, concerning Christ, before Abraham was, I am. Right?
Yeah.
And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the second person of the Godhead, and in fact, in him,
right,
we are complete in him. He is the all in all. Oh, we kind of love that first chapter of Ephesians, don't we?
Sure.
And it says, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And again, you know, we have so much scripture in Colossians 16, verse chapter 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and what's the last three words? And for him, and he is when?
Before all things.
Yeah, before all things. So, if he is before all things, then he, as God, was all that existed. Had to be.
I think another verse that would support this is Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord.
The Lord, right.
so the people of the world can do what they're doing, and it's destroying them.
Amen.
It is.
And it's not changing God one bit.
No.
I mean, it's just, he's not worried about it.
No, he's not worried about it. In fact, he's directing it all. He is turning them over to a reprobate mind. He, once again, is sending them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. So all things, that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And once again, in the revelation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In chapter 4 of the revelation, I guess we just begin at verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth, forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns. They do have those crowns again. Cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And so we find that in that last chapter of Matthew, all power is given unto me in both heaven and in earth. So this is the foundation, and his word proclaims who he is.
Amen.
And so these two, those are the two foundations upon which everything else rests and must rest. It cannot be any other way. And we who believe this, this is our rest. But the question comes back again, if the foundations be destroyed. Now someone may say, well, but again, the foundations cannot be destroyed. They're not going to be destroyed. And that is true as far as the actual foundations are concerned. But once again, they are being destroyed in the minds and in the hearts of men. And they love to have it so.
Mm-hmm.
They love to have it so. Amazing, though, you know, why would they love to have it so?
Well, then they can go out and do what they want and sear their conscience more and more.
Yeah. Because they have a false hope. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30, it says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. And what is it? The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. Never mind about God, never mind about his word, never mind about his law. You know, I can remember when it was a big thing that they were saying that God is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if the law is done away with,
yeah.
They've been declaring it a long time too.
They have. And not only that, it says, and my people love. To have it so. But then that question, and what will you do in the end thereof? Boy, what a question that is. What will these people do in the end? They have no foundation because they will have no foundation. But God's people have a foundation, and it is Jesus Christ and His Word. Now again, there are multitudes of other principles that go along with that, but they're all ultimately based upon these two things, Jesus Christ and His Word.
Right.
But we go back up to the beginning of this psalm. The psalmist states it very succinctly in the very beginning, in the Lord put I my trust. Right? It's in the Lord. That's the foundation, isn't it?
Yes.
But then, here's the question that is asked the psalmist. How saved my soul, or I should say the advice, I guess it's not really a question, is it? The advice is, how saved my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. What is the mountain? Well, in this particular case, I don't believe it's the Lord.
Yeah, I don't
believe it's some other thing that men believe that they can put their trust in, and they're actually saying, forsake God and put your trust in this other mountain. Now today, that mountain, to a great extent, is politics in this nation. And in other nations, in every nation, I guess, their mountain is the politics and what that can achieve for them. It's not God. I know we've got all, you know, how many $1 bills is there in this nation? And every one of them has got, in God we trust. I don't know how it is in Harris County, but in Montgomery County, every law enforcement vehicle has got stamped on it, in God we trust.
Right.
Most of them anymore have put that on your police car.
Yeah, I've seen it in other places.
It's a fad.
It is. It's a fad. It's superstition.
Indeed.
What you said earlier, it's superstition. They don't really put their trust in God. Their trust is in their own might. That is their mountain. Flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may proudly shoot at the upright in heart. In Jeremiah chapter 3, you know what? These old prophets of God were pretty wise, weren't they?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 3 in verse 23 says, truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from where?
From the hills.
From the hills. And from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. But you know what they're saying to us today? Even the preachers, quote unquote, are telling us, flee as a bird to your mountain. But you know, the snare takes the bird, even mountain. Doesn't matter at all. But you know, there is a song, it's called a Christian hymn, that is based upon this very thought. Please utter to your mountain. You see, there's all kinds of misconceptions because they don't know the Bible.
Right.
They simply do not know the Bible. We're talking about, again, this thing about passing by. They really understood that. They would have understood that. If God passes you by, you're in bad trouble. Because that's what he said over in Amos, I think, three different times. And I will not pass by them anymore. What a difference it makes then if God opens our hearts. Now the wicked do bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, but then they frequently shoot at the upright in heart. So we're going to have the foundation of God. We're going to have to have the foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word to sustain us. If somehow we think that we can do without Christ, if we think that we can do without His Word and all the principles that are based upon that Word, including the Sabbath, including attending church services. I mean, we know what the Word says about the Sabbath, but do we know what it says about forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is? But no, we're to provoke one another to love and to good works. Do you understand that good works is one of those principles that is based upon the foundation of Christ and His Word?
Right. Charity.
Yeah. Charity. It's a tremendous part,
sure,
of the foundation. And that's what James says very clearly, very plainly. Faith without works is dead. And again, was not Abraham justified by his works? We had quite a few messages not too very long upon that very thing. But they're destroying the foundations, and instead they're laying another foundation. Now, Of course, essentially, that's what the apostle was talking about in Galatians, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did he say about that situation there? Well, if any man, right, preach to you what? Another gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6 of chapter 1 of Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that he have received, let him be accursed. It's all right here, isn't it? And yet, how many, quote, versions, unquote, of the Bible are there? Hundreds? I don't know.
How many what?
Versions.
Oh, versions.
All versions of the Bible.
Yeah, it says my
Bible. Are there?
Over 1,000.
It's just, and you know, again, just, plain old bare logic would tell you that cannot be.
Yeah.
It cannot be.
Right.
And none of them they know they're not right. And so they keep going from one to another, to another, to another, to another. And who becomes God?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it gets me to people that will say, well, in this translation, here's, you know, another way of looking at it, and they'll quote that translation. And I was telling somebody yesterday about Isaiah 8:20 in the King James and what the new versions, and they could see right away that they couldn't understand that either.
No. So it becomes a matter of man's choice, man's choosing, not God's word. It becomes a matter of man's choosing.
But and a lot of those people believe that that is how God is brought into your life, is because you had the choice.
Yeah. You choose everything. You have to choose everything.
Even after you tell them they were dead in trespasses and sins,
yeah,
and they just blow it away.
Right. Because they have rejected the foundation. So, verse 4, he says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Now, this is, again, our consolation, but it's their condemnation. Again, the foundation, if God is, first of all, in his holy temple, secondly, if he's on his throne, thirdly, if his eyes behold and his eyelids try the children of men, then is not this the foundation? And if you do not believe this, then what? What is your foundation?
It's what you think.
Yeah. It's your own mind. Right. That's the only foundation you have.
Right.
But guess what? That even before Jesus comes back, that's going to be destroyed. It's going back to the dust. And then, again, what will you do? As Jeremiah asked, what will you do? Well, you're going to weep and gnash your teeth.
It's going to be like Ananias and Sapphira. When they were confronted with what they did, they just fell down dead.
Fell down dead.
There was nothing they could do.
There's no, what did you read that while ago? No wisdom or knowledge or counsel.
Right.
Again,
the Lord.
The Lord. Wow. Again, the psalmist says in the 119th Psalm, 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast found them for ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's our resting place. But it's not the resting place of the wicked.
No.
And again, in the hearts and minds of men, God Himself is convincing them that the foundations are destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It is so it's so blatantly obvious. For instance, in 1 Kings chapter 22, and we'll not go through this whole thing, but the gist of it is, laying the foundation here, is that Jehoshaphat has gone to King Ahab, and Ahab wants him to go to war,
right,
with him. And Jehoshaphat wants some foundation on which to make a decision to go to war. Why, any wise man would, right? In fact, Jesus makes that analogy himself. If you go into war, you're going to sit down and do what?
Count the cost.
You're going to count the cost. So Jehoshaphat wants this, and he says, well, you know, gather the prophets together, and what the prophets got to say. Well, just go up. The Lord's going to deliver this old king into your hands. Amazingly, Jehoshaphat says, well, you know, is there not another prophet of the Lord? And Ahab said, yeah, but he never speaks good concerning me. He always speaks evil. Now, isn't that the mindset of the world of today? God never tells anything good. You know, the Bible never tells anything good. Why is that? Because they can't see it. Because they don't believe in the foundation, which is God Himself. And so they will rather believe a lie. J.D., my dad used to say, oh, they'd climb a tree to believe the truth, a lie, when they could stand on the ground and believe the truth. And so, here comes Micaiah, and sure enough, Micaiah says in verse 17, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, the sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord says, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? But if see, men know the truth. But we go back to Romans chapter 1, right?
Yes.
Right. They held the truth
in unrighteousness.
In unrighteousness.
Which is calling God a liar.
Yeah. Verse 19, he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab? Now who's doing this?
The Lord.
The Lord? Yes, our Lord. Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How are you going to do it? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now here's the amazing thing. Ahab is being told in no uncertain terms. Not only what is going to be, but how he's going to fall for it. And why is that? Because in his heart and mind, the foundations were destroyed. God can't do this, or God won't do this. God knows. That's essentially what all those multitudes of prophets was telling him, right? Go up. God's going to deliver this into your hands. Isn't that saying God loves you? And that's what's happening in our nation today. Again, not only is in God we trust being on our currency and on the police cars, the emergency vehicles and everything, but every politician, I don't care who it is, that's how he always, wants to end his oratory, his dialogue. God we trust, or what they're saying is, God bless America.
Right.
On what foundation?
Right.
What foundation are you setting forth that you can pray a prayer like that? And there is none. Quickly, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their curse. No equivalence here, is there?
Right.
This shall be. Why? For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Now once again, the foundation is Christ and His Word. But folks, this principle based upon the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is all important.
Sure.
If God loves the righteous, then what about the unrighteous?
He hates them.
He just said that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He just said that. But once again, we go over to 1 John, and what do we find John saying there? Well, of course, there could be a lot of things.
Yeah, I was going to say, he said quite a few things.
But what did he say about righteousness? In that end of the second chapter, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that, what? That doeth righteousness is born of Him. There is the foundation of your faith. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we might say, well, but the foundation is believing in Him. But if you believe in Him, if you love Him, what will you do?
Keep
His commandments. So dropping on down for time's sake in chapter 3, verse 5, and ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins. His name shall be called Jesus. Why?
Mm-hmm.
For He shall save His people from their sins.
He shall save His people from their sins. And in Him is no sin. The end of verse 5. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Therein again is our foundation. Is God destroying the works of the devil in your heart and life? Amen. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For of this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God.
Amen.
In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, and so forth. But this is the foundation. But if this foundation is destroyed, and here's the question, how many people do you know of today that believe the Word of God, and that is their foundation, opposed to those that believe what they're hearing preached from the multitude of pulpits this very day?
Very few.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
But why is that? It's because the foundations have been destroyed. And now they're believing a lie. But they want to hear it. They want to believe that lie. First of all, because they hate God. And secondly, because they love sin.
You know, brother, when I first was being encountered with the doctrines of grace, I do remember not wanting to believe this truth. And so I ignored it, hoping it would go away, but by the grace of God, I was seeing it, not from this book anymore, but from His Word. And so now, there's no way I could go back on that. It's so clear.
So what, but why did you have a problem?
It was pride. I didn't want to believe that maybe God did not love me.
And but that's what you were taught, wasn't it? That you were taught contrary.
Well, you're right.
To the truth.
Well, you're right about that.
And yes, you the flesh wanted to believe that.
Right.
And the people loved to have it so. But the foundation was sure.
Yes.
And so ultimately, yes, you had to believe the truth.
Right.
And we were glad that you did.
Oh, praise God for that.
Amen.
And I can't get away that, you know, Peter is the one, the only other one that used that term, born again, and he said, born again by the Word.
Yeah. Yeah. And that Word is God.
Yes. The foundation.
The foundation of all things.
Yeah.